Now we're going to go to Emily and David, and we're going to talk about the Ecole Project. Emily, David, thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So I wanted to talk to you today about what's happening with Ecole. I know this is a very big year for you. It's been sort of 3 years in the making, as I understand. You've got a space now. People have worked very hard to get funding and partnerships with other organizations on campus. There's new faces part of the project. Give us a sense of where the momentum's going. What's happening at Ecole right now?
Yeah, so as you had mentioned, we got our space for the first time this year, which is very exciting. So there's currently 8 people living in the house. We are all doing research, so we've all started our research projects. In addition, we've been meeting with the collective and working on ideas for programming and space, and so we're really excited for the events and the programming that will happen in the space in the near future.
So let's back up for a second. Can you describe Ecole? Just basically, what's the mission?
Yeah. So Ecole is a house for sustainable living. It seeks to be both a community space and a research lab and just a very living, learning environment.
Living and learning. So
yes.
What exactly does that mean? How do you look at the dichotomy between living and learning?
Yeah, so we think there's not as much of a dichotomy. We want people who are living in the space to also be doing research and also be putting on programming and welcoming programming of like alternative education into the Ecole House for everyone.
And are all of these activities limited to the house, or is it more of just a home base for a lot of projects?
I think that we really do want to expand Ecole, you know, out into the community. We want to be part of our community, and our space is just a home base. We really want to work on community relations within Milton Park, and so, yeah.
So it's not just students?
No. The collective is built up of anyone who wants to join, students, staff, faculty, community members, anyone. And it's really, I mean, ideally it would be a space that connects people of different backgrounds.
So where do you see Ecole in the sometimes tense relationship between student and non-student residents of the Milton Park community? I know particularly around the beginning of the year, that's usually in the news, people who are upset about noise, about parties that are happening associated with Frosch and just generally the arrival of students in the so-called McGill ghetto. How does Ecole come in?
Yeah, so we've been fortunate enough that we were able to meet Ellen from the Milton Park Citizens Committee right off the bat. We were able to get her perspective on the community relations, which was really useful in being able to, you know, consciously take that into account in all of our actions. So we're hoping that we can do a lot of outreach to non-student residents of the Milton Park community, mostly through working through local community organizations like the MPCC and the Yellow Door, but really just try and connect students to non-students. I think that by doing that, we make the opportunity for students to realize that there are people who are not McGill students who live in the neighborhood, and it's not just the McGill ghetto, it's the Milton Park community, and it has a rich and diverse history.
So as far as the facilitators are concerned, what kind of backgrounds are there amongst all of the people who are living there right now? I know that the idea is not just to have people who have been studying specifically environment or other issues that seem to be superficially more related to sustainable living and learning. Who's involved?
So we do come from a variety of disciplines. We have people who are studying engineering, people who are studying sociology, people who are studying various forms of science, including like health sciences and physical sciences, We have people who are studying various forms of art and development and economics. So it really is kind of a very interdisciplinary house. But we also come from different backgrounds outside of our academic disciplines, and I think that that also adds to the richness of ICOL.
I'm sure there must be a lot of discussions that extend late into the night that I would love to be on the fly on the wall and listen to some of those.
Stop by.
So as we've said, ICOL has been, as I understand, about 3 years in the making now. There's been a lot of passion that's gone into it from the beginning. It started, as I understand, during the student strike with the Alternative University Project, extending throughout multiple iterations with multiple generations of people involved. Now you're here. Now you're a part of the ICOL project. How has your experience been adapting to a project that already has momentum and that already had other people behind it that are no longer involved? What kind of transfer of skill and knowledge has happened?
So when the eight of us moved into the house, one of the first things we did at our training was a history lesson. We had people come in who were involved with the Alternative University Project, people who were involved with Greenhouse, give us sort of a...
Can you talk to us just briefly, what was Greenhouse?
So Greenhouse existed before ICOL did, and it sort of had the same vision of ICOL, but it had like workshops and stuff and open education series and
Okay. So these people came and gave you a history lesson on what's happened before?
Yeah. So that was really useful. But I do think like we are really lucky and this year to actually have a physical space, and we hope that we are executing the project in a way that is living up to the dreams of the people who worked on the project 2-3 years ago.
I'll also add, I'm one of the coordinators of the project, so I don't live in the house, but I help oversee relationships between people living in the house and the stakeholders within McGill. And I'd say that I feel really lucky to still be in constant touch with the previous coordinators of the project, like Lily Schwartzbaum and Courtney Ayukawa, who's now the president of the Student Society at McGill University. We sort of have regular meetings with them to see, check in about comparing our vision of the project to theirs and ways to move forward with the project to make sure that it becomes a long-term sustainable part of McGill and Milton Park.
So can you give us a sense of what's coming up in the next few weeks for ICOL? Are there meetings that people could come to, things like that?
I can answer that one too. There is a collective meeting this Thursday. Collective meetings are a chance for anyone who wants to get involved with ICOL to come and hear about what is happening in the space. The collective members can help organize workshops. They can attend film screenings. They can get involved with one of the portfolios of managing the space, like finance and logistics or space and planning. So this Thursday from 5 to 7 p.m., there's a collective meeting. Come and join us. Also, next week, really exciting, we have our first ever annual general meeting, and that will be from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. in Leacock Room 109 on the McGill campus, and that will be a chance for us to approve our constitution and elect the board of directors, and the board of directors is meant to have students and staff members and faculty members of McGill, as well as members of the Milton Park and wider McGill community. We'll talk about some of the exciting things coming up for the year.
Can I just add that our space is open for booking? So if people are interested in booking rooms in ICOL, I highly recommend it. There's an email on our website that you can email to book the spaces for meetings or projects or workshops, whatever you want.
Thank you for giving us a rundown of what's coming up and describing where ICOL has been and what you're looking forward to there now. Lily Schwartzbaum has just arrived in Piccolo in a gust of fresh air, and we're very excited to talk to you, Lily, about things that are happening with Climate Justice Montreal, and follow up on our discussion over the summer about La Marche des Peuples de la Terre Mère, the 34-day march from Kakuna to Kanastake. And but before we do that, I guess while I still have you here from Ecole, I would love for you to maybe say a few words about where you see this idea of sustainable living and learning in the broader spectrum of climate justice, and perhaps looking at the ways that we manage our resources in our society.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that Ecole is a really interesting way of living in a way that like counters the current economic and prevalent systems that we exist in. It's like a very pretty explicitly anti-capitalist space. We're not, which very much counters extractivism and counters the dominant narrative that we need more and more. And we want, it moves against this very individualist nature of extractivism projects to a more collective future.
And we also are trying to make explicit links between social and material sustainability, that it's not just the fact that resources are being extracted, but the social systems that allow that to happen and allow us to take advantage of those resources and benefit from them, even though they're harming other people. So trying to make links between not just reducing consumption of energy and resources, but thinking about why it might be bad to extract those resources in the first place and educating people about that.
I saw that in the description of Ecole on your website, you have three pillars: learning, living, and community building. And it sounds like drawing that distinction between social and material sustainability is important for that understanding of where we go from here, I suppose.